All right, how about now?
Ah, ha, ha, ha. Jody, my guy, he's here.
Man, now it's time, huh? Your screen didn't want to work. My mic, I guess, wasn't registered. It was all bad.
Dude. So I figured out what the deal was last week. My problem was my little, like,
your port. Dongle?
Yeah, to plug into everything was, like, fucking up. And this week I was trying to work on it. It wasn't working. Dang, I'm going to have time tonight. So far it's working all of a sudden again. I did spray it with the air compressor. I don't know if that actually did something.
Cleaned out some dust.
Maybe.
Dusty, musty, rusty, crusty. Duck me. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
We're good whenever, bro. Oh, hold on. Let me pull this up before I say we're good and I don't even know where we're going. Your go-to.
Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. I've got my co-host, producer extraordinaire, master of all things. He's a dog, Jody. What up, Joe?
What's good, bro? You know, we're back. Another week, what? Week three in the books. Just kicking week it off, three. I guess. I won the one bet I gave you, but the other three that were paired with it, throw them out the window. Those did not work. But the one I said take, that one hit. So you're welcome if you only took that one. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How was your football game? I went and saw Shap. That was crazy. They blew out Great Oak. That's cool. They got some dude.
Shout out to Coach Raymer and the Chaparral Pumas. They got a big game this week against Mission Viejo. Yeah. The last time Chaparral played Mission Viejo, I'm pretty sure it was our senior year, and it did not go well.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, Mission Viejo was like that day.
Mission Viejo is like one of the top 10 teams. Like, I saw Max Preps has them like as the ninth best team in the country right now.
Yeah, Fish was saying that.
So
we'll see how that
good
goes.
Good luck to Shap this week. It's big game, baby. Big game.
Yeah, so when we played them, you know, quick anecdote, I made a business decision. Their best player was also their punt returner, and I was like, I could be dirty and try to take this fool out right now, but I let him be. I decided not to be that guy. Although we lost, I think we lost Darian that game, or he was already gone, and then we lost Meeks or something.
We did.
Tough.
Yep.
Brutal.
Yep. No, I remember playing their dude in the slot, like, all game long.
Uh-huh.
That was not a fun experience, not a fun time for me.
Bro, even just going to that game was terrible. We were practicing at that one field off to the side. Maybe that was Tesoro. I don't remember correctly. But there was one game we went to Irvine area, and we were practicing on a field that was like a park before the game started because they wanted us to get there and the game would start or something dumb. And it was wild. I was like, this is terrible. I'm out here. I'm not even going to play later. I'm going to do punt. And we're out here at a park looking like idiots right now. This is crazy.
Oh, no. I spoke too soon. This part. We're having the technical difficulties again with my stupid. I'm going to have to order a new plug, bro.
You might just need a new laptop. That's what Apple does. They make all your things not stop working so you can get new ones.
Nah, man. Anyway, so all the people watching at home, if you notice my light in front of me went out, it's mostly because of...
Your screen?
It's the screen not being there because the HDMI ain't working because the little port that plugs into your Apple computer, the USB-C, isn't working right now. So, apologize.
I'm rocking with this 10-year-old computer that's got all the ports separate.
Yeah,
and I was looking at buying a new one, and that thing costs like $2,200 before tax. And I said, nope, I don't matter that much. If I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna get a gaming computer or a laptop.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I understand. You know, we roll, you know,
as
the kids just keep it rolling, baby.
Fuck it, we ball. That's what they say.
I was gonna try and, you know, not say it.
I said duck.
hey, my stuff must have cut out right then and there because I thought you just went full send on it.
Nah, bro. I know better than that.
I was like, dang, Jody's just letting
you,
did you
miss me on the beginning too? And I said, duck me.
Oh man, Joe. Golly, you keep me on my toes, bro. You keep me on my toes. So you asked how my game went last week. We lost to a pretty good 3A school. Final score was 60-14. So they're a whole division up on us.
Well, okay.
So they like tripled our players on their sideline.
Yeah.
We were winning 8-6 after the first quarter, and we were playing pretty well early on. Eventually, they just kind of wore us down. And I'm going to be honest. They had more bodies. They played at a high tempo, which was very hard to play against. I mean, we just had no juice in the second half. Mm-hmm. We made some special teams mistakes that helped them build a lead. We fumbled two kickoff returns, like, back to back. So they scored three touchdowns in a row at one point where it was like they scored, we fumbled a kickoff return, they scored, we fumbled a kickoff return, they scored.
Ooh.
So that was pretty much the moment where it got away from us. But it was probably the kids. I mean, we played really hard. There's some really good things. I mean, we played with a bigger school for quite a while, and we were going toe-to-toe with them. And then the final score doesn't really reflect, to be honest, like what we did.
Mm-hmm.
But that stuff just is what it is. You know, you live and you learn. This week, we've got homecoming. You know, we're playing another big
three bunch school. Of people asking females to homecoming last week?
You already know. You know how all that stuff. High school is still the same, man. That stuff doesn't change.
There was like two or three after the Great Oak game, and they were like, "Yo, hurry, come on over here, get over here." And they got the sign behind their back. I was just rolling.
You know, it's big in Texas, in the state of Texas. That's not big anywhere else that I've seen. It's these things called mums, and like it almost looks like a garter that they wear, and it's like a decorative piece that they wear, like to school all day, and like the person you're going to homecoming with, you like match mums, dude.
That's pretty sick. It sounds cool. And I don't know. I should look it up. Maybe it is.
If you go to like TikTok or Instagram and you just search the mums, bro, there's like a whole thing about it where like some of these people go extra, like super hard, bro. Like they got like body size mums. All right. So that's just something
that's a lot more crazy than I thought it was.
Yeah. I'm telling you, people go all out on this stuff. So
this is like them going to graduation instead of stuff around their neck. It's on their arm.
Yeah. So, if you're curious, mums. All right. But this week, homecoming, we're playing another bigger 3A school.
Oh, okay.
I think it should be a pretty good game for us. We've had a really good week of practice. You know, homecoming week practice is usually pretty bad. Ours has been pretty good. Ours has been pretty good. Today there was a whole parade and like pep rally and bonfire and all this stuff going on today. Plus we had a junior high football game at our school. So we couldn't have practice like anytime after school. So basically, we gave the kids the option. In the gym? No, pep rally in the gym, bro.
I should have been paying attention.
We couldn't have practice anytime in the afternoon today. Like literally, there was no possible time where we could do it. So we gave the kids two options: either no practice or practice at 7 a.m. before school. We let them choose. What do you think they chose?
Are they dogs? I say no practice.
Hey, they woke up barking this morning. 7 a.m. practice, baby. Under the lights, it was awesome, and we had a great practice
on the dew.
And it made me really juiced for tomorrow's game, dude. I think we're gonna play really well. We had a great week of preparation. We're playing a team that runs the slot eye, old school offense. Like, they're gonna run the ball 85% of the time. And it's one of those games you just gotta be tough. Let's go to work. So excited.
What was my question? I lost it. It is what it is. On to the next thing.
Let's get some NFL news, Joe. What we got?
Yeah, there we go. Kicking it off. Our guy, Old Faithful. Not this year, though. CMC took a flight to Germany. Got his Achilles checked out, and I think the reports are saying he's going to be gone even longer. I'm not sure. Maybe I'm making that part up. But he went to get his Achilles checked out, and it's not looking good for the next couple weeks at least. So we'll see what happens for all the people that took him first overall, or top three even. I'm sorry. That hurts. But it happens to the best of us. On to some better news, though.
I'm not going to lie. You got me with the old reliable, but not this year. That was cold.
On to some better news. Teams that are 3-0. But maybe there's some question marks. We got the Chiefs 3-0, Bills 3-0, Steelers proving me wrong once again. We'll get to that a little bit later too. 3-0, Seahawks, they're 3-0, and the Vikings. Sam Darnold, we've been said it. You could do it with Kirk. You could do it with probably anyone, and it could have been JJ. Sadly, another one gone.
Yeah. We're looking at these dudes and we're asking ourselves, are these 3-0 teams pretenders or contenders? And it's a little early in the season, admittedly, to be asking this question, but we only have five undefeated teams left. So, there's some obvious ones. I think we know the Chiefs and the Bills are real contenders.
They're real.
Right? Neither one of those teams has played like their best possible game, although you might argue that the Bills played a pretty dang good game on Monday Night Football against the Jaguars. Argue that the Jaguars were pretty awful.
They're not that good.
But still, you could argue that maybe that is the Bills' best game right there. But still, both those teams to me are clear contenders. I think it's pretty obvious that the Seahawks and the Vikings are not going to keep this up. Those teams right now are pretenders. If you think of the Seahawks, to me, like, they played the Dolphins with a backup quarterback. They played Jacoby Brissett, and they played Bo Nix.
Yeah,
like, they played three of the worst starting quarterbacks in the NFL to start
the
season.
The Dolphins last year when they mollywopped the Broncos by like 70, and everyone was like, "Whoa, the Dolphins!"
Yeah, like, let me see them beat some real teams. Miss me with the Seahawks right now? We'll see. I'm saying pretender for now. The Vikings have at least beat some real teams. Okay. Daniel Jones and the Giants. Not great. Brock Purdy and the 49ers, though, pretty good. And CJ Stroud and the Texans, pretty good. Those are legitimate wins.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's always one team that starts off real hot that we kind of see like simmers down. And I just don't know if I'm ready to believe in the Vikings yet. I just don't know if I believe it. Brian Flores and that defense, they're rolling. Kevin O'Connell has got that offense going with Sam Darnold. I just don't know how long these Vikings will keep this up. We'll see. For now, I'm saying pretender. The team that's truly in the middle that I can't come to a decision on is the Steelers. I like the Steelers before the season to make the playoffs. I told everyone on this podcast a month before the season that the Steelers had the best defense in the NFL. They had playmakers at every level. No one else had that take anywhere that I saw. After 3 weeks, guess who has the best defense in the NFL? The freaking Pittsburgh Steelers. I love that defense. However, they still haven't figured out quarterback enough for me to say they're a legitimate contender. I like what I'm seeing from Justin Fields. There's true growth there, but not enough for me to be like, oh yeah, they're legit. They're going to be a contender, right? I think their defense is so good, though, that if Justin Fields and or maybe eventually Russell Wilson could figure it out and be legitimately good, that this team could be a legitimate contender. But for now, I'm going to say that I'm waffling and I'm just not giving a pretender or contender tag and they're the true team in the middle on that grouping.
Well, if you ask me, you know what my answer is. They're good until TJ Watt goes down. So as long as he's around, they'll be a contender. If he's not around, they're falling off the edge of the cliff. So we'll see. Time will tell. Time will tell.
Okay.
And also, I guess another one, if they ever switch to Russ or if they just keep rolling Justin Fields, kind of similar predicament for the Panthers. Andy Dalton came in, took the dub. A good one, too, at that. And then, you know, we'll see if they ever come back to Bryce Young later this year or just trade him or even wait another year, let him rest, I guess, and bring him back next year. But what does this say? Oh, okay, so these are the opposite, the 3-0. These are 0-3, huh? So we got Bengals. Their next couple games, they got Carolina. We got the Ravens and the Giants. 0-3, we got the Titans. Their next couple games, we got Miami, Indy, and Buffalo. Jaguars are Houston, Indy, and Chicago. And out of those teams, who do you think has a chance to keep taking L's and not get in a W column?
Who's going to be the last winless team, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go this week right now. Obviously, let's look at that one first. The Bengals, they're at Carolina. Carolina is coming off a pretty nice win, but Carolina feels like the best, the worst team in the NFL, unless you're talking about the Jags or the Titans, right? Feels like the Bengals are in must-win mode, and so I think the Bengals get a win this week there.
Yeah, they got to.
I will be hard-pressed. I would be hard pressed to think that they're going to go 0-4. Now, I also thought a similar thought last week when they were playing the Commanders.
Very true.
But the Commanders are a little more talented than Carolina, and I really like that Commanders team. So it wasn't shocking to me. Yeah, it wasn't shocking to me to see the Bengals lose. But that's the other thing. They've lost all three games very competitively. So
very true.
I think the Bengals get off the schneid this week. They get a win. The Titans, they got to go to Miami. That's
possible.
Would have looked like a tougher game a couple weeks ago when Tua's healthy. Now that he's hurt and Skylar Thompson does not look very good, and you know, who knows who's going to be playing quarterback for Miami. You know, the Titans very easily could win that game. If they don't, then they have a bye the week after, and then they play in Indy and at Buffalo. So I don't know. I'm going to stick with, like, maybe the Titans aren't winning a game here very quickly because I still like some of the infrastructure with Miami. The Jags at Houston. Feels like Houston really needs a rebound this week after their game against Minnesota. Unfortunately for Jacksonville, you know, who also needs a rebound, you know, they're running into a divisional opponent that's pretty good and coming off a bad loss, and they have to go to Houston. Doesn't feel like a super winnable game. Well, then they get Indianapolis at home. They got to go to Chicago. That's, you know, both those games are winnable games. I think right now, if I had to take my best guess, I would say we see the Jaguars go the longest without a win this year.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, I hate talking about this subject, but Doug Peterson could get fired real quick here. You know, people talk about
he's on the hot seat,
First coach fired. Doug Peterson might be the first coach fired this year. So,
yeah, I think, I guess what it comes down to really is who beats Indy first. I think we both agree that the Bengals will win this Sunday. They should, and if they don't, it's going to be bad because then they got Baltimore right after. Division rival. But I mean, if the Titans can't pull it off in Miami, you said they get the bye, so then theoretically the Jags would probably get it first if they don't win in Houston.
If the Jags are able to win in Indy, then yes, and the Titans would come off their bye week with Indy the week after. So technically the Titans would be the last winless team in that scenario.
I'm calling my shot right now. Titans win versus Indy off the bye week. They already have the advantage. I don't even know if Indy has a bye week the week before or not, but I'm calling it now.
No, the week before, Indy plays Jacksonville.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I'm calling it. Titans are winning week, what is that, six?
Yeah.
Versus Indy.
Week six.
Put it on record.
Put it on the record. Chat, write it down.
Yeah. I don't know you're a Kaisenat, bro.
Hey, man. The kids keep me up to date, bro. All right. Everybody's walking around my classroom. Chat.
Who do you want to be? Speed, hey, Kai?
Dude, so I'll be in class, you know, giving the lecture, whatever, talking, and then I'll just ask a question, and if I don't get a response, I'll literally say chat, and then they know. Like, it's pretty funny.
Oh, I should lock in.
Yeah. That's exactly what those are. Ah, all right, my bad, coach. Lock in. Hey, y'all, lock in. Let's go.
I can't.
Teaching's funny, man.
That's comedy. All right, on to some other news. We talked about the Packers briefly. Our guy Jordan Love's making his return this weekend versus the Vikings. I almost forgot. And, you know, Malik Willis came in, took two dubs for the boys, keeping them rolling. And we'll see what Jordan Love will do coming back off the knee injury. Hopefully should be good. It's good for my fantasy team. I need him back. But I did pick up Sam Darnold, so I don't know who to play this weekend. One could be slower coming off an injury. The other one could, you know, have a tougher defense and not perform as we've seen. So I don't know. I'm in a kerfuffle over there.
Oof. Tough. I have no advice to give you on that one.
Yeah, because you're working for the ops.
Another quarterback news.
A manager.
He's taking shots tonight, huh? Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. Tale of two rookie seasons so far. Jaden Daniels at one point led 17 straight drives that were either a score or end of half/game. So 17 straight drives that did not end in a punt, basically, or a missed kick, which is very, very impressive. And Caleb Williams, on the other hand, that offense cannot get rolling because it's clear that offensive line looks like garbage through 3 weeks now.
That fourth and inches.
I'm old enough to remember when people in the offseason were saying that this was the best situation any rookie quarterback had ever walked into. I was like, I don't know about that. Like, their defense is pretty good. It's proven to be pretty good. Their skill talent is
fairly good. 7-on-7 would have been crazy.
But their O-line is awful. And yes, I did see the fourth and one that was miserably bad. They didn't block a single soul. They all ended up on the ground somehow, though. So it's just interesting, you know, pick one versus pick two. Those two will always be tied together forever, right? And they'll always be compared because they got taken two pick, you know, pick apart from each other. And right now, Daniels looks like he's actually the one in the better situation, and he's having the better season so far. Again, we're three games in. No one's panicking. No one's sitting here saying Jaden Daniels should have been taking over Caleb Williams. I don't think we're doing that. I think it'd be a while, you know, maybe a year or two down the road before you could start saying things like that. But as of now, you know, that is a legitimate conversation that people are going to start having if things keep going the way they're going right now. So, we'll see which is something to keep an eye on as the season goes. Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels, because those debates will start heating up.
Oh, yeah. If you guys want more in depth, too, I don't know if you've seen RG3's tweet about it, but he goes into a video about basically saying the same things where Caleb Williams, he's not looking good right now, you know, there, but the expectations is basically the difference. Everyone expected him to come into Chicago, be a baller, take them to the moon, and Jaden Daniels had no really expectations, similar how when he came in to the league. And, you know, he's taken a very solid team to, what is it, 3-0 or 2-1, whatever they're at right now.
2-1.
And, yeah, there you go. And
I'd just like to remind everyone that your boy took the Commanders to win that division.
There you go.
So I'm not taking a victory lap. I'm just saying this is exactly why I took him. This is why I took him. This is it right here, because I thought this potential was very possible.
I had the Cowboys and our guy CeeDee Lamb's over here yelling at his quarterback. Diva mode. But speaking of the Cowboys, tonight, Thursday football, pass rusher goes down. Micah Parsons got injured.
Yeah, he got carted off with a lower leg injury. Don't know how serious it's going to be, but it feels like it could be a multi-week thing based on how it looked. The Cowboys did get the win over the Giants, which is a good win for them. They needed it to bounce back to get to 2-2. But Micah Parsons going down, that is not good at all.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically their backbone of the defense. I saw Diggs like hurt himself a little bit too. I heard on the radio for the game, but I think they said he was basically just cramping.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I seen a tweet earlier in the week that was like, Diggs' surgically repaired knee versus neighbors, and it was like some brisket or something, and they just crushed it up with their hands.
That's so messed up, bro. God. Hey, you know what? On that note, I'm moving us on. Let's get to the awards this week, bro. I'm letting that one go. That's trash. Awards for week 3. Jody, what we got up first?
Oh, the first one, Tukwa Gamer of the Week, the man that basically put on the show for the world, took their team to another level, balled out for the squad. I'll kick it off this week. We're taking my guy, running back. They're back in these categories. I love seeing it, basically because I put him there, but you know what it is. We're taking Kyren Williams. My guy had 24 carries, 89 yards on those, 2 touchdowns. He went 2 catches on 2 targets, 27 yards, and a touchdown on the receiving category. My man, 3 tutty game. You know, I told Fish this story earlier. I'm going to tell it to you. I had deja vu that he was scoring 3 tutties last week and the Rams would win.
Wow.
I almost texted you. I almost texted Fish and I almost texted Johnny about it, but I didn't want the butterfly effect to kick in, so I let it be until after. So no one's got to believe me. But
fair enough.
I saw that he would score that third touchdown, and they won, and they would win the game. So when it happened at the actual game, he scored the third touchdown. They were still losing, and I said, "How does this work out? The math isn't mathing. They should have won, and the game should end right now. Kickoff. They try to schoolyard." Whatever the words are, you know what I mean? Toss the ball back and forth, and it's over, I guess. But we saw Jake Moody miss the field goal, and they drive the field. Game over. Long-winded story. Sorry about it. Kyren Williams balled out this week.
Long-winded story to say, Kyren Williams. All right. So you did say you like seeing running backs here. Guess what, dude? I've got another one for you.
Yes, sir.
It's Derrick Henry. My man went 25 for 151 and 2 tutties on the Dallas Cowboys that neglected to sign him. He showed the Cowboys. He showed them who he wanted to play for. They should have tried to sign him this offseason. He was a man among boys, dragging dudes around out there. He was making the Cowboys defenders look like little boys on the field, bro. It was embarrassing for them. He was running right through them. I mean, like literally like punishing their defense for even
Didn't
trying
he have
to tackle them.
A classic like stiff arm too?
Dude. It was nasty. It was so nasty. He was a dog for sure. Gamer of the week, bro. Derrick Henry, stud for the Baltimore Ravens.
For sure, for sure. So following those gamers of the week, we got the Jody dog of the week. This also comes from that Rams game on the flip side. This guy went nutty, had himself a day. Sadly, it wasn't enough. Even with all the other homies missing out, he balled. He definitely put on a show. Don't get me wrong. He was looking great out there. Juwan Jennings, he went 11 on 12 targets, 175 yards. Also 3 touchdowns, but these were all receiving.
Hey, man, that catch he had,
bro.
The best catch of the day wasn't even a touchdown. He went over Quentin Lake and caught it like through him. It was wild.
Bro, that was crazy. So I originally, we had the backside angle, right? And from Fish's seats, so it was their backs to us. So I thought we picked it. Easy money. And then he came up with it. I was like, bro, this fool ripped it out of his arms. Wow. And on the Infinity board, they showed the replay. This dude just caught it over his head. Quentin Lake didn't even have a chance. And I was just like, bro, this is wild. That dude truly went nutty for the squad.
Hey, with... Juwan Jennings did ball out. Respect to him. He took an L, but respect to him.
Yeah, that's why he wasn't the gamer. It didn't match up to the dub.
So I got minor setback for a major comeback this week. I'm going to go with the entire Chargers roster. Right?
This sounds like the Chargers, though, every year.
The whole team is hurt right now. The whole team is hurt right now. Derwin James is suspended. Justin Herbert's on the bum ankle. They're missing Joe Alt, right? They're number five pick from the NFL draft. Like, their whole squad's hurt. But I think they're a really good football team when they're healthy. And I think Harbaugh and Jesse Minter, the DC, and Greg Roman, the OC, they got these dudes playing hard, and they're establishing a run game. They're protecting Herbert well, despite backup O lineman having to play. I know Herbert had to come out of the game last week because of the ankle sprain. But, dude, I think this Chargers team is going to rebound. And they're going to be a force this year, and I think they're going to play a factor in the playoffs in the AFC. So I'm saying minor setback right now for a major comeback later.
That's kind of like my fantasy team, too. We're all hurt right now. Dude. We're all on IR, but we'll be back in a couple weeks.
Don't give me this about your fantasy team being hurt. No, hey, dude, nobody cares about
I won.
That. Come on. Bro,
two out of my three leagues. Hey, and both of those were the money ones.
So I'm proud of you. Okay, congratulations.
Why did you guys lose?
Nah, bro. Nah.
Did you guys play?
We stay winning. Stay winning. Stay winning over here.
After I give you my.
That team lost. That team took an L. But no, my other teams, my other teams, and my other leagues that matter. We stay winning, bro.
Sounds like shots. This sounds like straight cap.
No. I won in two out of three leagues. The one that I lost in was the co-manager league. All right. I won in two out of my three.
What two are you in? I didn't even know you were in three.
Dude, come on, man. You know how this works. My college buddies who got me to play last year, of course, I'm in that league. It's a keeper league, so I got to play forever now.
Roped you in.
Okay. And then Alex convinced me to play. With with him and co-manage a team.
Yeah.
And then, of course, at work, they said, hey, we're starting a coach's fantasy. And then it's like, okay, well, I got to do it. Like, I can't say no. I'm just a jerk if I say no. So now I have three fantasy teams that I manage. It's dumb, but that's what happens every year.
See, this is
shocking. I managed to go for like 4 or 5 years of my life without ever doing any of them. And then last year I said yes to one, and all of a sudden one turned into three. And now here we are. And I'm just
we
know, like,
it's crazy. We don't even have one between us two.
No. Crazy. No.
What kind of world we live in right now?
Speaking of what kind of world are we living in, no cap hats off award this week. The Lions ran a sick hook and ladder to score right before the half.
Yeah,
that was nasty. If you haven't done yourself the favor, go watch the clip. Right, it's looks like Amon-Ra St. Brown is running like an under. He catches it and instantly just hooks it back to Jahmyr Gibbs running the opposite way, and the Cardinals defense has no chance. There's no, they have no chance.
Wasn't there also a flea flicker, or was that last week?
It's very possible I might have missed it. I don't know.
It could have been last week's game. I don't know.
I didn't see the entirety of the Cardinals-Lions game, and I'm not going to pretend like I did. So it's possible, but I don't know. The other no cap hats off award this week just goes to the entire Rams football team, who Jody watched in person. Mm-hmm. They had a 4.5% chance of winning the game with just under 5 minutes left.
That's
wild. This was when Jake Moody was lining up to attempt a field goal.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he missed it. And then Matthew Stafford put the Rams in position right away to go score, tie the game, which they did. Then they get enough of a stop on defense that they set up a crazy punt return, which sets up a one play. Oh, we got a pass interference. Mm-hmm. Now we're in field goal range, and now we're kicking a field goal for the win. And that's how that thing went. The Rams.
Did you see the play that could have been with Tutu chucking it up to?
Yes, to DeMarcus Robinson. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. But I didn't want to be wrong.
It was close. All in all, we might have still been doing this no cap hats off because the Niners got this close to pulling off the pitchy woo woo play and actually scoring on it.
Yeah,
it was close.
They had that lane on the far side, and then once it got to the big man, I was like, all right, settle down.
yeah. Speaking of big men, that's actually a great transition to the next award.
Ooh.
The Strahan Munoz Big Fellow Award.
Thanks for putting that in there. I forgot to type that up. I knew it was Moses. They said it on the game. So, yeah. Me going Munoz side, I got 78. Thankfully to Trevor, we got Morgan Moses, is his name, on the Jets. Let's see. Two things that were bad off it. We'll start with the bad and get to the good. He had a holding call, which I don't believe, honestly. I watched it like 5 times back to back, and I was like, I don't really see it. But I guess it could have been when he was driving him in the ground. They think that, you know, he was off balance and he just kept plowing him. I think that's, I don't know. Who knows? But that was, yeah, he had a holding call, and there was a false start on a critical, like, 3rd and 4. False start, take it back, put you in long 3rd down territory, kind of bad. But all in all, besides that, great game for the guy. That 3rd down was also during, like, 2.5-minute drill. So they're driving the field right before half. Not too good. But dude's good at running, good at passing. Loved his kick step. Really good on getting up to that second level, as I always mention. He truly was able to move people around on both sides with the run and the pass game. And he's good at picking up stunts and passing people off. I loved watching that, actually. That was really impressive. There was at least like 3 or 4 where the dudes would swap. Just give them to the guard, take the guards, dude. Great.
It is a beautiful thing to watch O-line, competent O-line play where they just pass off the games and it just wrecks a D-line game.
They just know
game.
What they're
it's
doing.
Very nice.
Yeah.
My Strahan side of the award goes to the entire Colts D-line.
Ooh.
All right. You've got Laiatu, who was one of our favorite pass rushers in the draft, who was taken as the top pass rusher in the draft in the first round.
Yeah, first one off the board, right?
He had a sack fumble. Big, big play on Caleb Williams. Tavon Bryan, he had a sack. Adeomi Adewale, he had a sack and 2 tackles. Kwity Paye, he had a half sack, 5 tackles, and a TFL. All right, so the entire D-line dominated all game long. We talked about how the Bears O-line is struggling. And that Colts D-line, you know what they did? They said, we're sharks and we smell blood in the water. Let's eat, bro.
They had that
Nothing summarized the day more than that 4th and 1 stop that they got, 4th and goal stop that they got.
Huge.
Where they just absolutely, threw the entirety of the Bears O-line onto the ground and then just went and made the tackle in the backfield.
Lost of like 6 or something. It was wild.
Yeah, the Colts D-line is playing fast and aggressive up front. I really like watching them play. They do some good stuff. So my Strahan Munoz Big Fellow Award goes to the entire Colts D-line. Shout out to those dudes.
Yeah, dominant for sure versus that struggling Bears O-line. You got to take advantage while you can. Get those numbers up.
Stat pad, baby.
Speaking of numbers, the Who's Cooking Award, they could have numbers, they could be bad numbers. Do you want a nice medium rare steak? Do you want some SpaghettiOs right out the can? Who knows?
Hey, bro, speaking of, and this is a little off topic, there's this dude who does this, I forget his name, but he does these videos. He does these videos where he's a chef, and he watches amateur TikTok, you know, or videos of people like just making random stuff, and he just comments on it. I got lost in the sauce one day, and I just watched that for like 20 minutes because it was so funny. This real chef like commenting on people making like bad stuff, bro. Like this lady was talking about making
macaroni with milk, like this, and they're like throw it in the oven 20 minutes and it's not cooked. All the Velveeta cheese is still stuck in there.
Yes, and he's just like, what is this? This is disgusting. And I'm sorry. It just made me think of that. That was hilarious, bro. I'm telling you, I got lost in it for like 20 minutes one day, just randomly. And I was like, wow, I've been watching this forever.
I thought you were going to hit me with the dude that goes to like hotel rooms and cooks with the items in the hotel room to make like a steak or something. It's like, why are you doing this?
I have seen that guy. That's gross, like, bro. That's so gross. Yeah,
I thought
so
that's what you were
gross.
Bringing up.
No. So gross. I have seen it. It's disgusting.
Hey, luckily for us, though, we're not dealing with those types of chefs this week. We got Gordon Ramsay and, I don't know, some other good chef who makes good cookware on the other side. I'm going Jaden Daniels. He went 21 for 23. Don't know what the math is because I know Trevor has his. But let's just say it's really efficient. Only two incompletions. We got 254 passing yards, two passing touchdowns. One was pretty. Terry McLaurin, great catch. Ooh, in the
it was.
And then he also had 12 carries, 39 yards, and a touchdown. That man going nutty right now. We talked about it up top with Kevin Williams versus Jaden Daniels topics. But all in all, great football from the guy. Now fantasy, keep an eye on my guys balling.
Yeah, so this will tell you something. My first instinct was to go with when I thought of this award, I was like, oh, I'm going Jaden Daniels. My guy Jody, you know, he already stole it. It was like the number one draft pick this week of like the easiest award to give out was who's cooking. And it was like, yeah, it's Jaden Daniels for sure. So I had to get more creative. But you know what? I did want to give this dude some real love because he's played well. And that's Malik Willis. He's thrown for 324 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, 73% on his completions in two starts for the Packers. He's been very efficient, looked good. Mm-hmm. I think it's a credit to LaFleur as a coach that he's made him look definitely. This good when the Titans were just willing to just they give him away for nothing in August. And LaFleur has made him look pretty good. And to Willis's credit, he's played well in this opportunity, mm-hmm. and he may have made himself some money down the road with these two starts. Nice provided that Jordan Love is coming back this week, you know, we may not see him again this year, but if we have to, I think the Packers will probably feel okay about that.
Yeah, definitely. He did some moves in the run game too with his legs. I think maybe not this week, but I think last week. So he was showing it all on this. Oh no, they played the Titans. It was this week. He had a tutty too, rushing. Yeah, definitely putting it all on display for the boys that let him go. Had to get that revenge game in them for sure. Now, you know, we had some dudes balling. This is the one where if you're not balling, you don't want a beer. The Boo Boo Evans Award. This week, I'm sure you've seen it on Twitter, aka X. DeAndre Swift. Oof. I seen a picture today, actually. Showed his last, 4 or 5 years, however long he's been in the league. With the Lions, he was averaging 4 point whatever. Put a number there. Each of the years. This year with the Bears, 1.3. Now that there might be bigger issues than just himself. Don't get me wrong. We talked about the line letting him get destroyed on that fourth and short. But all in all, my dude had 13 carries, 20 yards, two receptions off of four targets, 22 yards. My guy got the ball 15 times for 42 yards. Not the best day in the world. You lose in an unfortunate fashion. And ultimately, you were the last one on display when it happened. So, DeAndre Swift, keep your head up, man. Everyone's talking about letting Roschon Johnson take your job. Don't let it happen. You're a baller.
All right, so now it's time for the turnover on downs, baby.
Yes, sir. So
we've got the first down breakdown. And it is working this week. We've got it rolling. Yes, all right,
we missed it.
So I'm giving you a trend, all right, that we're seeing. So we've talked a lot about two-high safeties. I mean, that's been the big thing everyone's talking about right now, right? Oh, the quarterback stats are down. They're not throwing as many touchdowns. Passing yards are down. All of this stuff is down, right? And everyone's like, oh, two-high safeties. We talked about this last week. Mel Kiper had the hot take of like, outlaw the two high safety look. And I said, look, run the freaking football. And I showed you the Cardinals doing that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's another way you beat two high safeties. Okay. Two high safety is not like some like chess, like, you know, checkmate. It's not. Okay. It's beatable on offense. So, and there's a lot of ways teams have been doing it for years. So what I'm going to show you is a concept called grab. This is what the Rams ran. The play after Jake Moody missed the field goal to get themselves into field goal range, right? Or into a scoring range in first and goal. You're going to see everyone loves like, oh, Matthew Stafford hit 2-2 at one on a bomb. It's amazing. XYZ, why don't they do this all the time, right? Here's how they actually set it up. Here's the breakdown to help you understand what they're actually doing, right? So they're going to bring Tutu Atwell on this cheap motion, right? And they've been doing a good job of using him with motion. They like to use him on motion pre-snap because he's a little dude. You don't want Tutu Atwell getting pressed. His strength is not to beat press coverage, right? You want to get him moving free and in space, okay? The Cardinals or the 49ers are going to play a quarters look. When it motions over this corner, Chavarius Ward is going to back off, right? You have the two-high safety look with Hufanga over here and the safety over here, right? So you already see it's two-high safety. Kind of looks like cover two backside with a press corner, but he's actually going to bail out and it's going to be quarters, okay? So when Stafford brings him in motion, one, it verifies that this is, in fact, quarters because they're not going to move necessarily with him. The defense will adjust, but they're not moving a man over, so it's not man. And then you also see that you know you're going to get quarters, right, when this corner backs off like this. So an easy quarters beater. We have in our playbook, it's called grab, right? And all you're trying to do with the inside receiver is you want to grab that safety, right? You want to run right at him, run the curl right at his feet so that he has to respect you and play the curl route. That gives you a one-on-one outside with the corner who's likely playing outside leverage and expecting help inside from the safety, right? Because a lot of times in quarters, you want to double the vertical by number one. Well, in this case, you don't get to, and now the corner's outside leverage on a guy running a post full speed who is in motion. And with Matthew Stafford, who has a rocket for an arm and won't underthrow anybody. Okay, so now let's watch it actually happen. Okay, here we go. Bring him in motion. You see the corner back off like we said he would. You know you verified you've got quarters. Stafford turns his back to give a nice play action fake to hold just the middle seam backer here, right? Okay, you see the motion happening. DeMarcus Robinson's going to sit it down. What does the safety have to do? He has to play it. Where's Chavarius Ward on Tutu Atwell? On top and outside leverage. Perfect for the post. Exactly what Stafford wants. And cooked inside the five. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, what a great throw. Yada, yada, yada. I guarantee you this was a concept that Sean McVay had in the bag. It's not like revolutionary by any means, okay? Grab is commonly well-known and used, okay? So now I'm not telling you it's like Sean McVay created this like trick play, okay? But from a play-calling standpoint, he held it and he held it and he held it until the exact moment he needed it. The motion with the personnel, with the timing, it's a perfect play call. I can't say this enough.
Yeah,
everything about the design and the timing – and when he called it in the game, that's a game-winning play right there. That's like what helped the Rams win that game. There's so many other plays that happened, but that play right there, Sean McVay is a genius. Matthew Stafford is an execution artist. I can't say enough about that play. I was very impressed with it. And also, for all the people who think you can't throw deep on two-high safety, you can throw deep on two-high safety. I promise you can. You can.
All right, quick question. This has obviously it was a beautiful play, but would that work on too high safety or no? Because that's not necessarily you wouldn't be able to pull the safety because it's only two dudes.
So if you're running smash, right? In theory, if it's cover two, you have a cover two corner who's sinking underneath the corner route, and you have a cover two safety who's playing on top of it. You don't really want to throw smash to cover two.
Okay.
Now, if it's quarters, you know, you might get – it might be a little different. But if the corner in quarters is doing his job, you should also get a double on that corner route. Really, any cover four quarters beater is going to be two vertical routes, whether it's double post, like dig post, curl post, right?
So like you corner wanna, post, you wanna, post corner on one side?
Post corner, you run the switch release. You're going to guarantee yourself one-on-ones on each side. The problem with that is you're going to run into dudes with leverage. Like the safety's going to take the post that comes to him. The corner's going to take the corner that comes to him. You know what I'm saying? You want to try and create one-on-one mismatches that also gives you an advantage versus the leverage. And that's what grab does, versus quarters.
Gotcha. So what's more, like, I don't even think thrilling is the right word, but like, to you, what's more intriguing, whether looking at from the defensive perspective or the offensive, to figure out how to beat it on defense?
I think, I've always been a defensive coordinator. I've always worked on the defensive side of the ball. I enjoy learning offense, though, because year in and year out, you're trying to figure out what's the flavor of the month that I know I'm going to have to design a defense to stop, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if I'm a heavy quarters defense and I know I'm seeing grab, hey, can we create a call that allows us to still double the corner and, you know, play off the post? Or do we need to, hey, we need to change the leverage of our corner so he's not outside leverage versus, you know, I mean, or hey, maybe we don't want to play quarters against this team in this situation because they could call grab. Like, there's a million different variations of ways that you deal with problems on defense. But uh-huh. I think in terms of answering your question, I enjoy studying offense maybe more than I enjoy studying defense, just because when I break down games, I'm always breaking down offenses. I never break down the other team's defense because that's not my job.
You're gonna do for,
I got to figure out what we're stopping. And so I'm breaking down offenses more often. So I think I watch more offensive film during a season, like way more than I watch defensive film. So I think I enjoy that process because it is, okay, what are they doing? How can we stop it? What are they trying to attack? What can you do differently defensively? What different look can you give them that will give them problems that they then have to figure out? Gotcha. You know, how to fix on their end.
Yeah. No, intriguing. I just love that answer, honestly. I know it's always, I always give you something off script, and it's like, it's always something I like hearing, though, at the end of the day.
Yeah.
All right, moving along on the turnover on downs, though. Second down, I'm coming at you with the bet. Now, this is where you might call me a homer. I got some ones this week. Where it's like this guy, he's out here flipping the script from what he said early on, but change of heart, you know, we grow over time. So first one I have listed, we got the Rams +3 versus the Bears. The only issue I see with this is it could be cold in Chicago. Other than that, I think there's a better team all around. Yeah. No, yeah, he came from that division. He knows. But it's the rest of the squad. When we played the Packers last year, you know, they were all cold.
Hey, Kyren played for Notre Dame. He's used to it too.
Tutu? You know?
Tutu played at Louisville. I don't know. Probably not used to it. Probably not.
But
Tutu might be wearing a shiesty.
Definitely. I think he did last time. I'm pretty sure he did last time.
It's not even going to be that cold. It'll be fine.
No, it shouldn't be. That's why I'm saying.
It's
never
October.
That's the only issue I see with them going on the road to Chicago. We have Vikings Packers. We're taking the over 44 on that one. That one looks good to me. If it could, obviously, there's always both sides, right? You could see them scoring too little because there's too much defense, or you could see them scoring a lot because the offenses are just balling, you know. But I think we're getting balling. I hope. Let's see. The last one I have. Oh no, I got two more. My bad. We have the Saints +2.5 versus the Falcons. Now this one, where am I thinking on this one? I don't know. Let me tell you. Saints defense really good. We've talked about it. I wish I would have wrote this down properly. I think Falcons are home. Point being, though, defense really good. Kirk is still a little bit slow with his mobility at the moment with his Achilles recovery. I think they get to him a lot. And they make him look like pretenders, especially being a division rival. So that's why I think the Saints cover and or win.
Wow.
And last one.
Okay.
Steelers -1.5 versus the Colts. Kind of talked about this early. Colts, Anthony Richardson, really inconsistent. Steelers defense, really good. Younger quarterback. You put it all out there versus the young guy. He can't see much. I think that one's also really good. So, final answer, I'm giving you that one. The Steelers -1.5.
I like that one the best, too. On.
But I also, the Rams one, really, really tearing me. But Steelers, final answer.
With the Rams, you're getting points, so that makes sense. That's true. Whereas with the Steelers, you're giving some points. But I'm with it. I like both. I actually like all of the rationale for each of those picks, and I'm with you, all that. I actually think I would go the same way on all of those. So
let me cook it right up, see what that total comes out to while you do this third down. Oh, are you frozen or were you just smiling?
No, I was just, okay. I was just confused.
you were just looking good like this.
Yeah. I was like, the classic go-to. Hey. So we got the third down breakdown. All right. And we're going to break down a very often missed, our play that most people would think is just, it's a non-play. It's third and 16 for Philly. Okay. In a gotta have it 2 minute situation on the road in the Superdome or the Mercedes Benz Dome, right? Or the Superdome, what do they call it now? Caesar's Palace Superdome, right? And the Jets or the Saints defense, they're cooking something up here, okay? They're gonna play man free across the board. They're gonna only rush three, and then they're gonna keep a spy, a low hole player, and a one high safety. Okay. So man free means, okay, we're playing man across the board. We have one free safety. One okay. Now we're also plugging one guy underneath who's really going to actually look at the best player on the field for them at the moment, which is Dallas Goedert. Okay. So you're really trying to get a double on their best player. You've got a spy on Jalen Hurts. So if he wants to run around, you've got a dude who can go make that play. And then everyone else, there's a man on a man, and you've got a one high safety. So there shouldn't be anything going vertical. Like, we should be fine, right? We should be covered up, okay? The Eagles are going to counteract that with a little motion to make sure they understand it's man. And then what's the best thing you can do versus man coverage? Pick routes.
Offensively. My bad.
Yeah, pick routes. So we're going to watch the Eagles run a ton of pick routes right here, and it's going to be just filthy, disgusting cheating by the Eagles, but it's going to work for them. And they say, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, all right? So we'll watch it. It's actually textbook so that it's not cheating. But here's the motion by Saquon. He motions back in the backfield. They verify, okay, this guy comes back in with him. We know we've got man, right? I'm sure – I believe this was out of a timeout, so I'm sure in the huddle they had the ability to check out if they saw it was zone versus, hey, we got man, we can keep it on, right? Again, this guy's showing like he's going to blitz. He's not actually blitzing. He's just going to spy Hurts. All right, Dallas Goedert's going to get his man up the field. He's going to come underneath, right? Again, that's the man player on him, and this player, this low hole player, is really going to look to double him, right?
Okay.
The Eagles are going to run this guy vertical, and number two backside, which I can't tell who it is in this picture, but he's going to do a really good job.
Jahan Dotson?
It might be Dotson. Okay, so Dotson's going to run the rub route. They call this rub routes, right, when they run the double unders.
Yeah.
Now watch what he does. He runs like he's going to run at him, like he's going to run at him, but then he turns up the field and avoids contact altogether, and look what happens. The Saints actually run into each other. Three Saints players run into each other, and it just leaves Dallas Goedert like free and wide open on an under route on third and 16 that he turns into a 61-yard play.
We need.
And here's the angle from the punt.
Did you see my Lotta video from this?
No.
So he was mic'd up this week, and he was like, "Get down there, son. Get down there, son. Unhook the trailer." He was like, "Oh man, you're slow. How'd you let him catch you?"
So this angle is really good because you can see the safety is looking this route up, and he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna get there." Right? You can see the under developing coming across. It looks like it's mesh, right? Double mesh with the double unders, and then Jahan Dotson just sneaky like runs away from it, and look. All these dudes run into each other.
Oh, they
and now Dallas Goedert is free. So if you're a Saints fan and you're like, how does that happen? It's third and 16. We just let a guy catch an under and run for like 30 or 60 yards. And we give up a first round and then we lose, and that's how we lose. And you're asking yourself, how did that happen? Well, that's how, because it's just well-designed offense. They motion once again to check if you're in man. Oh, they're in man. Perfect. We've got exactly what we want. Hey, we're going to run these rub routes. you're going to run, but you're not going to touch anyone. And there's no penalty there. He didn't touch a soul. That's not on Jahan Dotson. I was making the joke that it's dirty, rotten cheating early on, but it's not. He's not buddy. It's that he made the Saints players run into each other, which is what the Saints pick each other. Well, then Dallas got wide open and it's man. So no one else see it until the very end.
Already in the end zone.
Everyone else is covering a guy somewhere else. They're not going to see it. Right. So that's how that ends up happening. And yes, Saints fan, it's a tough break. I'm going to be honest. It's a tough break. And and maybe, you know, next time in that situation, the Saints will play more zone instead of man.
Nah, yeah, I get you. That was nice. I was going to say, this looks like my favorite play on NCAA. Just straight mesh across the middle, pick a side, throw it. But fourth down on the turnover on downs, we got the bad beat of the week. So I've seen a couple bad ones this week. We got Patty Mahomes rushing yard. This one's a heartbreaker. So I guess line was set at 19 and a half. My guy got 30 during the game. Okay. But after taking some knees, he ended up with 17. He lost four, and then lost five. Oh. So he beat his line by a mile, and at the end of the game, took it all back and got 17 out of the 19 and a half.
Ooh. That's tough. That is a bad beat. Wow.
Yeah, and the other one I seen out there, I don't even want to talk about that one too much because that hurts. You're sitting pretty. You're like, oh, he's about to run for like 50. Nope, not happening. But the other one, we have Giants-Browns under 37 and a half. Score was 21-15. And Devin Singletary gets a line straight to the end zone. But instead he sits on like the 6-yard line or something.
All that.
And just let the time run out.
Smart decision. He pulled the Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, do that all the time. Pulled the Todd. Good choice.
Yeah, and so instead of getting over in that game, it hit under 36 points total. So depending on which side of history you're on that one, you're either like, you score, or you're like, oof, glad he didn't score.
Sweat it out.
Yeah. But yeah, Patty Mahomes, man, that's tough for the world.
Hey, great turnover and down segment today. We even got some unscripted stuff that was pretty good there, Joe. I just want you to give yourself a pat on the back. Good job by you.
Yeah, I got you for both of us. We'll clap it up too.
All right, so we got to finish this pod with a banger of the week, and this week happens to be my week. I got a song for you this week, all right? It's a little different. It's a little like...
Oh, song.
I don't even know how to describe the kind of music it is. I guess it's sort of rap, but it's sort of like... I don't know. You'll have to look up the song. Tell me. We'll talk about it the next episode like it or not.
Yeah.
But I think it is... popular right now. Like you're hearing sound bites from the song, which is how figured out what it was. But it's the name of the song is Big Dogs. All right. And it's by Huna Makind and Call Me. And this is their one hit wonder. Like this is their single that's hitting right now.
Okay.
And it came out this past July in the summer. And so now we're a few months. Yeah. So it's a new, brand new song for the most part, I guess. I don't know if you would consider 2 months old, brand new.
New to me. I haven't heard of it. So,
yeah. So if you're looking for a new song, like I said, a little different sound, a little different vibe, you know, you're trying to switch it up, get something new on the playlist. Here you go. Big Dogs.
When I was reading the name, I was like, is that Anuman kind? Like, I don't know. I was trying to figure out what that word was.
Yeah, I don't know either. It looks like it's supposed to be like humankind, but like
I was like, misspelled this. And I was like, well,
Anuman kind. Yeah, I looked at it for a long while to make sure I gave the artist the right credit. And I don't know. I had to, in order to find this information, I'd just been like hearing the song,
the lyrics or something.
And then I was like, all right, I'm going to have to Shazam it, bro. So I know what the name of the song is.
Crazy. Do you have Shazam on your phone?
Yeah.
I go off the lyrics in my head that I have for a song, go to Google, type it in, lyrics, see what pops up. And it's like, it might be this one, and hope for the best.
I tried to do that and I couldn't find it. So,
well, it sucks too, because like they're like, oh yeah, just Google, you can hum a song and it'll figure it out. That don't work, bro. I'm not trying to try that. It don't work. Don't lie to me like that.
But I think that'll take us out. We're excited for week 4, some big games coming up, and we'll be back once again to wrap up week 4 and little preview of week 5 next week. Until then, take us out, Ray. And ready for war, we've been working all year. Look into my eyes, there's hunger, there's no fear. Fucking like y'all ready, bro, I promise you we coming. Anybody that want it can get it, play it's nothing. We ain't never worried by listening to the chatter, cause when we get on the field, we know that none of it matters. I've been through a lot, man, can't nothing faze me. Got the student section and the stands going crazy. Everybody turning up, we putting on a show. Boomers, we be popping in the people, yeah, they love. 951 be the city, never change. We the Chaparral Pumas, everybody know the name. We ain't here to make friends, we gon' let them see. Get your chain snatched like a key crab tree. Squad for lagoons, be ready to bring the pain. Show them how we do, we about to let it bang. About to go and get it, kill them with the swag. Tryna act tough, they be looking, we just laugh. See them getting mad, cause they know we ain't stressed. We prepared for this moment, we done passed all the tests. Been through the rain, been through the struggle. We ain't never break, we just put on more muscle. Put on for the city, man, running with the pride. Friday night lights when the Pumas come alive. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show 'em how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang. Put on for the city, that's really all that we do. Yup, nothing to lose and a whole lot to prove. On the field late and I'm in the gym early. Overtime on my grind, I can see him worried. Put the pads on, we about to bring the boom. The Legion of Doom, everybody better make room. You can see the fuse from the fire. Product of the pain and the hunger and desire. Talking like you want it, man, I hope you ain't lying. Bottom line, we the Pumas, but we feeling like some lions. Dropping off heat at your feet every week. Everybody wanna be a beast till it's time to eat. Oh, we gon' see if you really bought it. Deacon, you can handle me, boy, I really doubt it. Putting in work, being steady with the grind. You ain't taking nothing, player, this is all mine. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show 'em how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, let it bang. Blood, sweat, tears, time getting near. I've been saying that for so long, now it's here. Come through the whole chin, checking everybody. We just put them in the dirt, man, treat it like a hobby. Oops, I mean habit, L's can't have it. We ain't stand around waiting for nothing, we grab it. I remember putting in work all alone. Now my team with me and we all in the zone. Never giving nothing, so you better understand. We don't care about your plan, this is Puma Pride Land. Get into the huddle, tell the fellas, turn it up. Fourth quarter coming, throw them double deuces up. Let them know what's up, man, the crowd never dying. Refy, keep holding me, man, quit crying. Put your Pumas up, show them Puma Pride. Friday night lights when the Pumas come alive. Throw your Pumas up, we gon' get it, that's right. Friday night lights, we turn up tonight. In the best spot, if you on the other side. Time to let it bang, make them feel that Puma Pride. Let it bang, let it bang, let it bang, yeah. Let it bang, show 'em how Puma do it. Let it bang, yeah. Turn me up, let it bang, 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 let it bang.